they have the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform presentation on their annual report to enable the portfolio committee to present recommendations to Parliament. We have Mr. Mdu Shabane, the acting DG of the department. I know the portfolio committee members have not been formally briefed about Mdu Shabane. The last time we met with Ms. Mukhalme, and then Ms. Mdu Shabane and the deputy minister were here when they're presenting, when we're listening to the Auditor General and the Ngonyama Transport presenting their own reports on the department. Today we have two formally coming to us as acting DG. For today, I think it's not going to be our duty to find out where Dr. Mukhalme is. We want to focus on the report. Can we get the apologies for today?
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Mandela and the Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Secretary. Mr. Mdu Shabane, over to you, sir.
Thank you, Chair, and honorable members. Let me, for the record, submit that Dr. Mukhalme is off sick. I have a team from the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform whom I would like to introduce very quickly, if you allow me, Chair.
Don't give us a bigger mystery, because when you say Dr. Mukhalme is off sick, then it means you are acting on an acting person. Don't do that. Can you explain a little bit, because then you are going to create a speculation upon speculation. We were introducing you because we were told you are the acting. Now you are saying the acting is off sick, so you are here. What's going on?
Chair, Dr. Mukhalme is a DDG of the department. Would have been part of the delegation generally. Can I quickly introduce Chairperson, the rest of the delegation?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. My name is Protas Pili. I'm the Chief Financial Officer for the department.
Thank you. My name is Irene Singo. I'm the Executive Manager of Financial Management for the department.
Good morning. My name is Leona Archery. I'm responsible for the component that deals with rural infrastructure development.
Good morning, Honorable Chair. My name is Arthur van Staden. I'm responsible for support services.
Good morning, members. My name is Vusima Hlangu. I'm responsible for strategic land reform interventions.
Good morning, Chair. I'm the Chief Minister.
Good morning, Chair. It's Melissa Chetty from the department.
Morning, Chair. Sivu Siso Kamete, the Acting Chief Land Claims Commission. Thank you.
It's still in your hands, Mdu.
Thank you, Chairperson. Our presentation will be in two parts. We'll reflect, the first part, I will reflect on the overall performance of the department, and the Chief Financial Officer will address the finance aspect of the report and the findings of the Auditor General. We will take you through the following outline chapters in the introduction, context, performance overview, and the overall program performance, progress we've made to date with regard to the implementation of the CRTP, financial performance, report of the Auditor General, and the progress report we are making in addressing the audit findings, the investigations we have dealt with, and the conclusion. Chairperson will take you over the report of the department that is based on the interim strategic plan that was tabled at the beginning of the period under review, and the financial performance for the same period. At the outset, Chairperson, we wish to point out that the budget of the department that we are reporting on is based on the strategic plan that had been tabled as part of the old Department of Land Affairs. After May, when the new administration took office, a new Department of Rural Development and Land Reform was established, as you will all be aware. During this period, we had to come up with a new vision, mission, strategy, programs, and budget to give effect to the brand new mandate we had received as a department. Effectively, 6 months of this period was used by the department both in reorganizing the department to align it with its new mandate, at the same time implementing the new programs. The changes I have alluded to earlier resulted in new branches of the department being established, namely the branch Geospatial Services, Technology Development and Disaster Management, branch Social, Technical, Rural Livelihoods and Institutional Facilitation, and finally the branch Rural Infrastructure Development. Chair, despite these profound changes, which were challenging but exciting, the department was able, within 3 months of its inception, to launch its flagship program in Muyeshe in Oka 17, the Comprehensive Rural Development Program, which the chair and some members may have attended. The trend of improving governance and control environment in the department continued, chair, as a result, eliminating one of the two remaining audit qualifications for that particular period. The one that remains now is the one that we have reported in the previous period insofar as the asset register is concerned. This one will be eliminated, as we have reported before, within the next MTF period. Even though the Auditor General has correctly identified inadequacies in our risk management environment, the department has continued to detect and deal with fraud and corruption decisively. We make specific reference here, Chair, to the forensic investigation in KwaZulu-Natal, and we are happy to report that there's a court order where we have recovered the 8 properties that were fraudulently transferred to a third party other than Land Reform beneficiaries. The department, insofar as the budget is concerned, the department had a budget allocation of 3.6 billion, of which 5.8 was spent in the period under review. The spending for this period translated into 92% of the final allocation as compared to the 99% during the preceding period. Particularly, we want to emphasize that despite the changes that we have alluded to, there was this progress insofar as the budget expenditure was concerned, resulting in the 8% budget under expenditure. We now would like to move to the individual 7 programs of the department. Starting with Program 1, Chairperson, Program 1 is a division of the department that deals with support services. The corporate function of the department was at the forefront of the transformation of the old department into the new. And some of their targets have been met, and the others that were not met due to the reasons I have alluded to earlier on. We want to record the progress we made in the areas of completing an HR plan and partly implementing it. The significant reduction of the vacancy rate that we had reported in the preceding period from 16.7% to 10%. 21 prioritized posts were filled, including 17 senior management posts. Program 2, this is the surveys and mapping. This program, Chair, operates in a highly specialized environment is highly regulated. The program performance here has been consistent over a period of time, and some of the set targets have been exceeded. Cadastral service management, similarly here, a highly specialized division of the department, an area of scarce skills. Performance also has been relatively consistent over a period of time and continues to improve. Chairperson, the branch restitution program 4. This is an area where the department faces its biggest challenge, at least in the medium term, from a budget point of view. The ministry has directed the department to develop a turnaround strategy for land restitution. The turnaround strategy will be informed by the CRDP principles that I spoke about earlier. Program 5, Chairperson, this period, the branch focus shifted from the emphasis we have always placed on the hectares transferred to sustainability of land reform projects, hence the introduction of the recapitalization and development program. Despite the reported non-achievement of the set targets in our annual report, the branch was still able to deliver 240,000 hectares. The program also requires improvement in the area of monitoring, evaluation and control, especially in the light of the fraud and corruption activities that we have uncovered. I have alluded to the significant progress we have made in KZN, where we have suspended 4 officials, recovered the 8 properties that are referred to, and extended the investigation beyond the initially reported areas. Program 6, again, Chairperson, the work of this program has increased significantly in this period as we introduced the Comprehensive World Development Program. They are responsible for compiling our status score report for all the wards where we are running the Comprehensive World Development across the 9 provinces. The program has performed consistently also over a period of time. Like surveys and mapping, cadastral service management, we have implemented a skills retention program to retain the capacity to be able to perform and deliver on the mandate of the department. The DIS environment has performed well over a period in relation to set targets, Chairperson. However, we wish to point out that there is evidence that integrity and security of information and the systems in the DIS environment require urgent overhaul. This is more so now, given some of the fraudulent activities that have been uncovered. We wish to also report, Chairperson, that the properties in the Pretoria DIS office that were fraudulently transferred to third parties have since been recovered, the conveyancer arrested, the register of deeds suspended. The progress report with regard to the comprehensive road development, here, Chairperson, we show you our footprint in the 8 provinces, the 23 wards across the country where we have made significant progress in the implementation of the CRDP. I now want to hand over to the Chief Financial Officer to move and discuss the financial performance and the Auditor General's report.
Thank you, Chair. I'll take you through slide 16, from the slide 16 to slide 20, dealing with financial performance of the department as well as the report of the Auditor General. Under slide 16, you'll see there is a financial performance of the department. The department had a final allocation of 6.3 billion. And out of that final allocation, it spent about 5.8 billion, which translated to 92% of the budget spent. The department had was organized within 7 programs, which are shown there, which is administration, auxiliary and associate services, survey and mapping, cadastral survey, spatial planning and information, restitution, land reform, and rural development. Administration, they had a budget of 762 million and they spent 88% of that budget. Auxiliary services and associate services, they had a budget of 67 million and they spent 94% of the budget. Survey and mapping, had a budget of 88 million and they spent 96% of the budget. Cadastral Surveys had a budget of 140 million and they spent 91% of that budget. Special Planning and Information with a budget of 64 million, they spent 65% of that budget. Restitution, as you can see there, they spent 100% of the budget, as Acting DG has indicated that is one of the programs that requires a lot of resources. You can see the spending there, they spend 100% of their budget. Land reform, they had a budget of 2.7 billion and they spent 93% of its budget. And the last program there you can see is the rural development, which is a new program which received its funding in November. They spent 25% of its budget, as you can see there, with the final spending of the budget, which is 92%. The underspending as reported by the acting director general is 88%. Next slide, which is slide 17, I will take you through the report of the Director General. The department made significant progress in resolving matters previously reported by the Director General. As you know that yesterday, the Director General take you through the process since the year 2005, 2006, up to date, where in 2007, 2008, the department had 5 audit qualifications. Those audit qualifications, they were reduced in 2008, 2009 to 2 audit qualifications. And during the year under review, we got only 1 audit qualification. And in that respect, the department has made significant progress in resolving those issues as identified by the Auditor General. You can see there that the one which we sorted in the current year under review, which was the least receivable, it was clear. Hence, we got only 1. The deeds and the late agricultural holding trading account, they receive unqualified audit report, and we as management, we are continuing to put control in place to make sure that weaknesses identified by the audit report are addressed and monitored by management on a regular basis. If we move to slide 18. Slide 18 will show you the progress that has been made against 2008-2009 financial year into 2009-2010 financial year. I'll start with all the qualifications that we had in the previous financial year. The Auditor General had qualified us on tangible capital asset. They could not confirm the audit assertion, which I have listed there, which is completeness, valuation, right and obligation. Hence, they were unable to perform the audit procedures which they are required to perform. As a result, we had an audit qualification. It is the same qualification that we have now in the year under review. However, we are putting in place control to make sure that we solve this audit qualification. Since joining the department in March, I have requested the team, because an audit is driven by source document. You can only record transactions once you know what is in the source document. I have requested the team to give me all the source documents so that we begin to start to address this audit assertion. And I'm of the view that if I get all the source documents that are required, we will be able to solve this audit qualification earlier than it is reported. The lease debtors, which was the audit qualification which was reported in 2008-2009, in the current year under review, that audit qualification has been cleared. Coming to the emphasis of the matter, when you talk about emphasis of the matters, those are the issues which are not affecting audit opinion, where the Auditor General wishes to bring the attention of the users to those issues. The Auditor General in 2008-2009, they reported fruitless and wasteful expenditure of 4.9 million. That fruitless and wasteful expenditure has been reduced in the year under review. It's moved from 4.9 million to 2.7 million. However, we'll continue to put in place control to make sure that such fruitless and wasteful expenditures are eliminated. It's the same thing with irregular expenditure. In 2008-2009 financial year, we had reported 75 million of irregular expenditure. And they have been significantly reduced in the current day under review to 4.2 billion. And as management, will continue to put in place control to make sure that irregular expenditure are also eliminated. Also reported is material losses through criminal conduct. In 2008-2009 financial year, it reported 6.9 million. In 2009-2010, it reported 53 million. You will note there, Chairperson, that the department commissioned forensic investigation into KZN. And based on that forensic investigation that was done, 53 million of material losses were uncovered. In line to that, also, 6.2 million was discovered in the same period under review, but is related to the prior year. The 6.1 million has previously been reported as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. But having gone through the forensic report and consulted with National Treasure, we came to an agreement that such a fruitless expenditure as well reported previously should be classified as material losses through criminal conduct. The department has engaged the Special Investigation Unit to deal with these issues as uncovered by the forensic audit report. And if I go to the next slide, which is slide 20 is dealing with other matters reported by the Auditor General. These matters, again, they do not affect the audit opinion, but they are only brought to the attention of the user. The Auditor General reported in 2008-2009 financial year that our predetermined objectives, they are not reliable, they are not specific, they are not measurable. It's the same audit finding in 2009-2010. What I wish to emphasize in this point is that the Auditor General reported yesterday that there are no source documents. Those source documents, they relate to specifically to this predetermined objective. Because the Auditor General, what we want to say, when we set our target at the beginning of the year, come end of the year, when we say we've achieved our predetermined objectives, already now we want source document. For instance, if we say we want to increase service to, we want to improve service delivery, when we say we have achieved that, the Auditor General only one source document to that effect. It has got nothing to do with financial information. All those source documents relating to financial information has been provided. That's why you can see that we've got only one audit qualification. So I need to make sure that it clarifies not source document in relation to the financial information. Also reported in 2008-2009 financial year is that we did not comply fully with Section 38 of the PFMA with respect to risk management and internal control. Section 38 of the PFMA requires that the accounting officer put in place effective system of internal control and risk management that is transparent and effective. So there are various aspects that needs to be covered for that to say we have fully complied with Section 38. So not all aspects of risk management were covered, which is the same thing with 2009-2010, but that issue is being addressed because now going forward, risk management will form part of the strategy, all the strategic planning of the department. When we begin to plan our strategy, we'll be asking the fundamental question, which says, what is it that will stop us from achieving our strategic objective? Because that will tell us that is the risk that we are facing. At that particular point, the strategic planning will put in place control, will put in place a person that is responsible for managing that risk and going forward. As a result, that aspect will fall away in the next financial year. Also reported in 2008-2009 financial year, the state of our quality and the Auditor General had reported that our quality had exceeded the amount that to be surrendered to National Treasurer. As a result, had we paid that amount, we would have overspent. But in the current year under review, that matter has been dealt with, so that is not an issue anymore. Same thing with the collection of Section 78 to A of monies, where the accounting officer did not comply with such a regulation, 11.2.1 in the currently under review. We have fully complied with that section. And with that chairperson, I take it back to the Director General to continue.
In the reports of the Auditor General, they referred to the 29 investigation. We do have that information, and in the past we have answered a specific parliamentary question in this regard. But we do not wish to reveal, publicize that information as it affects, as the list that we have has got specific names of individuals, but it has been properly declared with the Auditor General. They are aware of it. I have alluded, Chairperson, to the allegations of corruption and irregularities in the land reform projects, the significant progress we have made there, the forensic investigation that uncovered the amounts the CFO spoke about. The former Director General initiated a process together with the Special Investigation Unit wherein we have now signed a service level agreement with the Special Investigations Unit to look beyond just KwaZulu-Natal and the Western Cape and look at other possible areas of fraud and corruption in the department. That work is in progress. We have reported about the criminal matters that were referred to the SAPS and the Hawks, the 8 properties recovered by the Asset Forfeiture Unit, both in the Deeds Office and in KwaZulu-Natal. We have alluded to the disciplinary action that has been taken against various officials, in KwaZulu-Natal, in the Deeds Office, and the Western Cape, and the investigations and possible criminal charges, criminal investigations are underway. In conclusion, Chairperson, having come this long way from the old Department of Land Affairs with its own, with its legacy that we have since been inherited by the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, we believe that the fundamental changes that we went through between the period of May to November under the period under review will take the department a long way into achieving its objectives and the mandate. We have already seen the results that we have a dedicated ministry for the Department of Rural Development. Chairperson, you know that the Department of Land Affairs since inception has always shared ministers between with agriculture. Now for the first time there is a single ministry dedicated specifically to the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, and we believe that will take us a long way. The ministry to date has provided us with much needed clear strategic direction and leadership, which has resulted in a focused department that is now able to confront its challenges and deliver on the new mandate. We thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Shaban. Honourable members, this is an opportunity for members to ask questions, but we will not confine you to just questions. If you want to make a comment, you can do that as well. But Mr. Shaban and CFO, if you are comfortable, you have completed your presentation. That's fine, we'll give it to the members unless you have to add anything. Thank you. Members, here's the opportunity. I'll start with you, Honorable Tobiko.
Thank you, Chairperson. From the report of the CFO with regards to the loss, material losses, procurement activities in KZN, that of 53.3 million. If one may ask, were those criminals brought to book, or what has happened to those who were involved in sort of misusing the government money in this regard? And secondly, there was an issue on the figures of the people who benefited out of the Miyeche project, and almost in fact we do not see the figures or the number of people that benefited out of the whole project, except that there were women, the unemployed women who benefited, and youth, but we don't see the figures, which one would have hoped the figures could come forward, simply because there were estimates that were brought forward that the intention of the department was to see so many people at a certain stage having benefited of the project. Thank you.
Honorable Stay.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the department. I just want to make a comment first to say that I wonder where the minister is today. There was no report of receiving any notification that he would either be late or not present. So if someone maybe can help me on that, I would be happy. Chairperson, I was listening closely to the report, and it sounds very nice. It sounds really as if nothing's wrong, we are on the right track. The department know, and I've been reporting this in the committee a few times, I'm visiting farms, I'm visiting these areas, I speak to people, to beneficiaries, to landowners, to lawyers, and anyone in between. If you listen to the report, it sounds like we are actually doing that better than the previous year. But I think in actual fact it's not happening. What concerns me is the section around programs 4 and 5, restitution and land reform. That there is no targets, there is no measures, there is no planning, no monitoring, no nothing going on there. And I can actually see it in the questions that I sent to the minister and replies from the department. It differs every time. And I'm really wondering if there is a database. The reason why I'm saying so is that in the past we've been told that there's a database, there's a list of, now let's take restitution. There's a list of how many farms still needs to be bought and where they are in the process. And then the acting Chief Land Claims Commissioner sits here. He has said in KZN that they do not have a full list because they don't know where they are in the process. So that's what was said. I read it in the newspapers, and I did speak to some of those farmers. So if I'm wrong, they must tell me now. But I want to know, what do we have and what don't we have? I was even told that in court cases, and I've read records of court cases, that the department goes to court, the judge says, you get here, you don't have a map, you don't have lists, you didn't do any investigations or full investigations, but you are taking farmers to court, defending other people. So, I think if we look at the books, it looks that, you know, we are doing better. But in practice, it's not happening on the ground. I'm very concerned about these investigations of fraud. I just also want to say that the fact that the investigations happened in KZN is because we visited those farms. I were on those farms myself. It was reported through the media, and it was then reported on one of the Sunday television programs. And only after that, something happened. So if we didn't do that, if we didn't go to that farm and reported it through the media, I wonder if that was ever going to happen. And I want to see those reports. I want to see the findings of the reports. We cannot say because people will be implicated. If people steal money from poor people and make land reform fail for that reason, we must know who they are. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Tapa. Ladies and gentlemen, honorable members, I you don't feel, you shouldn't feel Ms. Stain out of order. She's entirely within her rights, because we did indicate that you can make a comment as well. You don't have to ask a question. So don't panic. Honorable Ndefa?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. My question will not be only based upon the presentation by the presenter on behalf of the department. What I want to find out from the department is, under the land reform, targets have been set for quite some time and they have not been met. What I want to know now is, who sets these targets? If it is the department personally that sets these targets, why it fails every now and again to meet the target? If it is being set by someone else, what the department do about the person who sets the target, which they are unable to meet? The next question is regarding the capacity of the department. This has also been the problem for quite some time. So I want to know now from the department, what is it really doing to overcome this problem? I happen to learn that there are batteries that are being offered by the department. To me, that is a long-term problem solving. And then this problem needs to be attended right now. What is it doing to solve this problem? I also understand, under the land reform again, that there is a call center that was set by the department. What I want to know now from the department is that call center being utilized to the satisfaction of the department? I also want to know how much was spent by the department to put up that call center. It's used by the members of the country. There is also a question of unsurveyed and unvetted land. What is the department doing about that? Because this also now dates back from 2008, and we're in 20 there now. We are still sick on that problem of unsurveyed and unvetted land. What is going to do actually about that? If there is a program they have put in place, when did they put that program in place? And how far has the department gone regarding that program, if there is any program in place? In restitution. No, sorry, it's already developed. They are targets again that were set by the Department of Rural Development regarding the household to be reached and supported. Have you reached the target that you have set regarding that? And there are also job opportunities that were also set to be achieved by the department, particularly in years. Have you met those targets you have met as a department? If not, for an example, how many jobs have you created in years? If there are any jobs created, and if you have reached and supported the household, how many of those have you met with the target yourself? Honorable President, there's a lot of questions. I think I must give another colleague of mine. I will ask another round to be given to the Honorable President.
Find that unacceptable. I'm chairing. You must not chair. Finish what you want to say.
Okay. Thank you, Secretary. Okay. I also understand that there are things. Household gardeners that were facilitated in Mshondo in the Eastern Cape. What I want to find out now from the department is, are those gardens meet the intendant at the border? That is now to change the life of the people. If one may take your mission into account. Let me stop there, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you.
I wanted to make sure that you have no excuse.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable.
Say that you were pressurized by time. This is where we work full time here in Parliament. We are not rushing to go anywhere.
Thank you, Chair. My worry, Chair, is the underspending of the department. That's slide 16. All what they have put in front of them, they have to underspend. And I wish to know what causes this underspending. Because you go outside, you find the people who have put claims, land claims, has gone beyond 10 years without paying for those farms. We find that that farmer has been making a living out of his farm, is just staying there now without doing anything because his farm has been claimed by certain people. But when we come to the department, we'll find that the department has no money. But when we get the report here, you will find that they're underspending a lot of money. On this document, on page 62, you'll find that 271 cases in court put by the farmers challenging the department because they are no more getting money to live. Is the department is going to be successful to implement what the department is aiming to achieve if so many cases in court? If the department is not end up paying now the court all the time? This is my worry. In all this, we can speak a lot, but the government wanted a delivery. But in this case, we'll find that instead of a delivery, we underspend all. If the government is going to give us more budget if we leave so much without spending. Thank you.
I know it's a relevant question to the department because the commission falls under their ambit. But that question, because the department will be here on Thursday, we will deal with it today and on Thursday. We'll put it to the DG today and put it to the commission on Thursday. But you're welcome, Mr. Shabane, to deal with it. Honorable Ngwenye Mabi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start by commending the department for the targets that they have achieved and also for the ones whereby they have exceeded the targets. But although looking at the report, there's still more to be done, especially on the program of land reform, because when looking at the targets, almost all the targets were not achieved. But also, Chair, to comment on the last program of rural development, especially on the spending trend. Although there was a reason that has been stated, but I think also on that program, we need to pull up our socks. Chair, when looking at the administration, you know, at the annual report, there are senior managers that are active. Maybe can we get the reason from the department? But why are these people acting? Reasons for not appointing permanent senior managers. I think there are three of them that they are acting when looking at the annual report. Then again, on the issue of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, I think we commend you for making sure that this is being reduced. But maybe to just find out in which programs were this fruitless and wasteful expenditure incurred, and also what plans have been put in place to make sure that we avoid this in totality. Again, on the irregular expenditure, the 4.2 million, in which program was this irregular expenditure? And why was it there was a regular expenditure? Who was involved? And also, what steps have been taken to make sure that really the people comply? Then, on the material losses through criminal conduct, I just want to check whether has this been reported to the Public Service Commission? And also to the Treasurer and the AG. Because according to the Treasury regulation, the Treasury is supposed to be informed about who was involved, who are involved in this criminal conduct, and at what levels are those people, and what steps the department taken against those people who are involved in this conduct. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Ms. Mabida. Ms. Carter?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I've got a few questions. The first one I please want to raise to the department and to the committee, with me being new in the committee as well, is the reasons for Mr. Gwanya's sudden departure. That is something that has been very silent. Then also, I would like a list to be provided to the committee of all the farms that was bought under his tenure. Then I want to refer also back to page 175, where I also want to request whether the department can please provide us with a list of the 1,695 farms up to March 2010. There we need the farm names. We need to know this is Moy Noy or Scales Rock, whatever, okay? The district in which that farm is, the extent of the land, the price we paid per hectare, who is the beneficiaries, what is the status of that farm? Is it still productive or is it just lying to ruins? Further, the department can please provide the committee a list of all officials that has benefited throughout all the provinces. I do not believe the story that there is only three officials that has benefited. In one province only, I can tell you about 17 that has benefited. So let's give the department the benefit of the doubt and ask them please to provide us with that information. If we go to page 127 of a report, we're talking about a fraud prevention strategy. Now, I want to know whether it is now fully implemented, what is the process, how long is it going to take? And the reasons for why the fraud register is not being updated. You know, I want to be really crude here and say the department should be fired because they are not doing what is expected from them. Why is that register not updated? It is so easy. People can now say, I can get away with it. It's not updated anywhere in a fraud register. Let me take as much as I can as quick as possible. Now, this is not a new department. It's been reshuffled. So the excuse of it being a new department and that everything had to start from scratch is not the full truth. It is horrifying that we find ourselves in 2010 and we see that section 38.1 of the PFMA has been totally omitted. And then we can refer to page 126 of your report. Now, quarterly reports should have shown the problems that it's manifesting. So is the quarterly reports actually being truthful, firstly, or do we really see a lack of management from the DG, the department, and from the minister's side? When we look at, this one, I must say, actually quite baffled me. If we go to page 175 of the report, and we have a look at the table that is there, it is on service delivery. It is saying there that 600, the standard of service, and then the actual achievement. We're talking about 656,000 hectares with 12,890 beneficiaries. And then we talk about the actual achievement was 239,000 hectares with 11,000 beneficiaries. Now, my calculations there is saying to me that if we look at that table, that 11,300 beneficiaries benefited from 239,000 hectares, leaving the balance of 1,500 beneficiaries to benefit from 417,000 hectares. I don't know, I think we just need to just have a look at that table. I must say that part of it really confused me a little bit. Then if we refer to page 99. On the forensic audit, if a department can please just table the, you know, but I've actually been answered on some of those. But on the forensic reports, is there a possibility that that report can be tabled to the committee of just the findings in those forensics and the ones that's completed? And in the ones that's not completed, how far is the process and with a due date of when do we expect to have it completed? That also, then on page 89, I would please ask the department just to give us clarity on the machinery and equipment that were purchased for 48.5 million rand, as well as the software and other tangibles that were for an amount of about 340,000 rand. So I think for now that is my questions.
DG, because we have an opportunity once per year to ask you these questions, there is no enough or overload of questions. We will still ask you more questions. It is for us to be satisfied that you are doing the right thing. We also have to know whether you are implementing the policies that you gave us in the strategic plan. We want to understand whether you are achieving or not achieving your own targets. Maybe you should start by telling us who sets these targets. And if you set these targets yourself, based on what? Because your capacity must go together with the targets you set. Go ahead, you can start anyway.
Thank you, Chair President. Thank you for the comments and the questions from the honourable members.
Can I help you, teacher? I read the same figures as Ms. Karen. I want to make sure that everybody has the same understanding as the two of us. In some particular year, the Department of Land Affairs decided to set a target of 24.9 million hectares to be transferred. And you set individual yearly targets. For 2009 to 2010 financial year, you set 656,000 hectares. I want to be very clear. And you said 60,000 beneficiaries must correspond to the hectares that you said. Can you help us clear those figures? I saw them in your own document. can we have a clarity on those, the relevance of those figures and targets? Because these figures here do not tally, as Mr. Carter has pointed out.
Thank you, Chair. Let me start with the targets, Chairperson. The 30% target of redistribution of agricultural land by 2014 is a government target for which the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform is responsible for implementing. We have done the sums, Chairperson. Our point of departure was to move from the premise that there is approximately 82 million hectares of agricultural land in South Africa. And we have, if we have to distribute 30% of that, we arrived at that figure, which is, you see, Chairperson, on the report, which is 24 million hectares. We are saying to date we have transferred just about 7 million hectares of that, and therefore we still remain with a huge, you know, target outstanding. We set these targets on the basis of what becomes available in terms of budget allocation, in terms of what Parliament approves for the department. We have had to, in some instances, particularly under the period, during the period under review, you would see that there has been movement of budget, as I tried to explain, Chairperson. With the inception of the new Department of Rural Development, we had started our planning as the old Department of Land Affairs in 2008 May, completed the strategic plan, submitted financials to National Treasury through the Budget Committee, budgets announced in the midterm budget speech policy of the Minister of Finance, finally tabled in February. But with the new department, we had to revisit the department, financials, budget allocation, to take into account the new mandate.
What we want to follow. You say 24.9 million hectares was a target set by government for 2014, and 7 million of that has been achieved to date, which covers the 2008 and 2009 financial year. I know, but it says from when this target was set to 2008-2009 financial year, because for 2009-2010 financial year, you set a new target of 656,000 hectares. And what I'm saying, we should follow as the logic, because you see, it's well enough to say we met the target, we didn't meet the target. We want to measure the target itself. If you set a target of 656,000 hectares in that particular financial year, how much hectares were transferred? This is what we want logically to follow, because then we have to move from the money you have in meeting the target, and then move to how many beneficiaries, and move to whether those beneficiaries are holding fallow land or active productive land. Because then we have to deal with the quality of meeting the target rather than just the figure. Can you follow that logic and help us?
Chair, it is correct to say that in the strategic plan, interim strategic plan tabled by the department at the beginning of the period under review, we had set a specific target of 656,000 hectares. We are saying we had a target also of reaching 12,890,000 beneficiaries. in our report, we are saying we did not fully achieve the target. We only delivered, we only acquired 239,000 hectares against the particular target, having spent the budget that the CFO referred to. We provided explanation in terms of why was the budget not fully spent. As we restructured the department, we had to move money and so on. On the issue, Chairperson, that we are raising, I can see that you are correlating, you are comparing the number of the targets of beneficiaries against the overall target, the 60,000 that you referred to. Chairperson, can I explain, Chairperson? I know the reference that you are making. Remember, Chairperson, we tabled a particular strategic plan, but the department changed its focus. That target was related to the number of commercial farmers would want to black commercial farmers would want to establish. It did not exclude the number of farm workers, farm dwellers, the labor tenants, whom we confirm their tenure rights through the redistribution of target. That is why it would explain, Honorable Chair and Honorable Kachan, that you have quite a high number of beneficiaries anticipated to benefit. Because this includes people who've acquired the land, who've been assisted to acquire land through the various programs of the department. But we are saying among them, we have got people who live historically on these farms, such as labor tenants, farm workers, whom we have assisted not to only acquire land, but to secure their tenure in the long term. Perhaps, Chairperson, when the Auditor General was referring to the non-measurability of the targets we have set, this is the area where the Auditor General was putting emphasis on. Perhaps in our next reporting period, we should be able to make a very clear distinction in terms of categorization of the number of hectares looking towards 2014, the people, the categories of people that will benefit, because it's not just black commercial farmers who ought to benefit from the 30% target, but it is also farm workers, labor tenants, and farm dwellers, as I've tried to explain. Chairperson, if I may move on. Honorable Sebekulu asked a specific question as to what has happened to the people in KZN. As we earlier reported, the officials involved, four of them, were suspended immediately after we had evidence that they are implicated in that fraudulent transaction. We have since served them with specific charges, in some cases a disciplinary inquiry is proceeding. The criminal matters were referred to the South African police and specifically the Commercial Crimes Unit. The process of recovering the properties that were lost, given their criminal nature, were referred to the Hawks, who have since dealt with the matter. As I said earlier on, we have a court order now to get those properties back from the individuals who fraudulently obtained ownership. It is now up to the prosecuting authorities to take relevant action against those who have committed those fraudulent activities against the state. The work is ongoing, Chairperson, as I've said, but we are now almost at the mercy of the criminal investigators in the police service, where we have handed over this work The reports that the Auditor General used in the main in analyzing the fraud and corruption allegations in the department comes from the forensic investigation report that we ourselves as a department commissioned. In other words, we helped the Auditor General to come to some of the conclusions the AG has come to on the basis of the report that we have proactively initiated to deal with those. I will come to that, Chairperson. It's actually very good if the honorable members of parliament, when they become aware of these issues, they bring them to the attention of the department. We have now demonstrated that if we are presented with information and facts, we decisively deal with these issues. We have demonstrated that without any doubt. The Ms. Lane, in her capacity as a member of parliament, may have visited these particular farms, but our investigation was not really prompted by her visit in particular. I'm aware that she was involved. We investigated this upon them being brought to our attention. We could not investigate something we did not know about. It helps if we've got specific details, specific information, so that we can follow up. I would be happy to be sitting here answering questions to the committee saying, we have presented this department with the following information. You've done nothing about it. It's difficult and unhelpful if I hear that there are these problems all over the show, but I don't get this concrete information against which I can proceed with investigation. Otherwise, I'll treat all 4,000 officials of the department with suspicion and demoralize them in the process. So it helps if the members of the committee come forward and give us concrete information. The next question that was asked by Honorable Tlebukulu was with regard to the people in Yeshe that have benefited.
Also, she went beyond that by dealing with the fruitless expenditure, irregular expenditure, and all that. The same with the fraud.
Chair, I must just verify whether the Public Service Commission has specifically been informed about this. I will have to verify and come back to you about that one. But in the normal course of our business, we have to declare this information to National Treasury in our financials, and they are well aware. In fact, they even sit in our audit committee where we have discussed some of these activities. There is the question of the report, Chairperson, that has come from Honorable Carter and Honorable Spain on the accessibility of the report. We will communicate, having verified whether we can release that report, the reason being that it has been these reports were handed over to the Special Investigations Unit to proceed with further investigations. Now, there could be more than the suspended, number of officials that are involved. Now, we'll have to verify with them whether any release of that document would not jeopardize their investigations. They are a useful source of investigation for the ongoing work that is being done by the Special Investigations Unit. So we'll have to verify whether we can release it or not.
Don't get yourself into trouble. Okay. You can't tell this committee that once you release that report to the police, you keep no records. Remember, the Honorable CFO has indicated that the Auditor General insists on source documents.
So you can't release everything and remain with no source documents.
No, Chairperson, I'm sorry I did not communicate to you correctly. I did not suggest that we do not have the source documents. We have them. All that we are saying is that we want to determine whether their publication or their release would not jeopardize further investigation if there are further officials of the department implicated in the reports. We do have them. Yes.
Thank you, Chair. On the reporting of the fruitless, wasteful, irregular and material losses, you know that in my report, I reported that the 53 million material losses were uncovered during the year under review. And for the prior year, 6.1 million was uncovered. That 6.1 million in the prior year had been classified as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. What I'm trying to say here is that for us to do this classification, we had to consult with National Treasury, because sometimes it becomes difficult to interpret whether it's material losses or irregular expenditure or it's fruitless. So we have to consult with National Treasury and they give us advice. So in that respect, we are in constant consultation with Treasury in as far as these disclosures are concerned. As you know that previously the material losses had been disclosed as fruitless, but National Treasury in the current year advised that no, because now we've got a forensic investigation that we have done, this is, you should classify this as material losses. So these things are actually communicated to the National Treasury.
What is the implication of the difference?
It's an interpretation, because these are matters which in the PFM they say on discovery of this, they say on discovery of fruitless and wasteful expenditure, disclose, on discovery of regular expenditure, disclose, on discovery of material losses. So sometimes it becomes difficult to classify. So to be on the safe side, it's always better to consult with National Treasury so that they can give their view, so that when the Auditor General comes in, at least there's been that independent assessment of what we are doing.
The question was, if you discover an irregular expenditure, does the person or official relevant to that irregular treat it differently if it was fruitless or if it was material loss? I just want to understand the implication of each classification.
For fruitless and wasteful expenditure and regular expenditure, the procedure will be the same there, but for material losses, as the name says, material. So the case is normally, as you can say, we take that forensic report, we refer to the prosecuting authorities, they prosecute that. It is serious matter under material losses. The officials which are identified obviously have to go through a disciplinary process if they are liable in law. So we go to our legal department to get that opinion whether they are liable in law. If they are liable in law, then you go that disciplinary procedure.
Okay. Help me just one little bit. Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to add to say, with irregular expenditure, normally is non-compliance with policies and procedures. So that person will still go through the disciplinary process. But with wasteful expenditure, there's money that needs to be recovered because we have lost some money there. Then through the disciplinary processes, again, we'll recover if that person is liable. Regarding the question of reporting to Public Service Commission, there's a separate document which requested us to report any financial misconduct. Normally, you'll only know whether it's a financial misconduct when the disciplinary process has been completed, and it's then that we report to the Public Service Commission. But to Treasury, yes, we have reported, and we've disclosed it accordingly in terms of Section 40 of the PSMB.
Thank you very much.
Chairperson,
Ms. Chairperson, I just want to ask a follow-up question on this issue of the fraudulent activities or the 29 investigations and the corruption. I just want to make it clear, maybe the acting DG is not aware, but I did send a letter to the minister after my visit with the findings, we actually then asked for a full investigation into this report. It was only 3 months later that the story broke in the news. I know that the letter was sent to the minister and I think also to the DG at that stage. So, and it's also not our job to run around on farms and find fraud. In the first place, we can't find it because the reports that we get from the department is so poor. And we can go back to last year. It's in report that I said all the reports that we get from the department has got missing gaps. There's either not hectares or not districts or not beneficiaries or not something. But you won't get full sentences if you go in the columns from left to right that you can see this was the piece of land, this was the previous owner, or this is the person that it was sold to, this is how many hectares, and that's my problem. And that is why, if we go to page 58 of the report, the Auditor General said that they could not speak about Program 5 land reform and CFO, it's not about the financials, it's because you don't have a list of beneficiaries and all other documentation linked to that. So, I don't know if we are missing each other here, but I can prove that all the records that we received from the department, there are missing gaps. And I'm sure this is what the Auditor General is referred to. So how can you pick up fraud and corruption and problems if you do not have a full database? And they're not going to tell me they have one because I've been asking for one on all the time. And we get gaps and missing links and something else. And I can send you lists and lists and lists of people that say that on these forms, this is the people that they suspect. Inflated farm prices, but that's not my job, Chairperson. I want to find out what is the department doing.
Thank you, Ms. Tate. On page 58 of the report, this report, the department does disclose the point you are emphasizing. They themselves are offering that information. The last sentence there says the department did not have a database of all previous and current beneficiaries who benefited through different programs and projects to ensure compliance with the criteria to qualify for land reform subsidies and restitution subsidies and prevent management of grant funding. They themselves are disclosing the point you're making. Excuse me. This agent. Yeah. This is okay. This is the AG report, and the department is not denying this. Because the CFO said no source documents. You said that.
Thank you, Chair. I said where the Auditor General needed to prove that on predetermined information, when you say, for instance, when you say, we have achieved our target in the sense that if our target was, say, improved service delivery, the Auditor General will want a source document to that effect to say how to improve that now the service has improved. So it was in relation to that, as I said, not to financial matters.
No, achieved 239,990 hectares for 11. For 11,362 beneficiaries instead of 12,890. Now, how do you come to those exact figures if you do not have source documents to prove that this is what you set yourself the target, this is the number of beneficiaries, this is the target we met, this is the number of beneficiaries, if you do not have source documents? That is service delivery, isn't it?
Chairperson.
It sounds like I'm contradicting myself or not. I just want to get to the nub of the issue.
Chairperson, I can assure you are not. And thank you for helping me understanding the question that
Honorable Stein was raising. It is correct, it is in the annual report, the issue of the database. What is the significance of the database? The control there that was lacking, as reported by the Auditor General, was that in as much as we have names, ID numbers of people, mistake, which we can produce for people who have benefited, what the Auditor General was saying, Chairperson, is that we did not have a system that could interface and see if in this province, the people that have benefited from this program of land reform have not gone to Mpumalanga and benefited there again and benefited in another province or even within that same province. That is the essence of what the Auditor General is saying. But I would be worried if an impression is created that we can't say which farm we have got for how much, who are the beneficiaries. We have constantly in terms of numbers provided in the previous annual reports.
Okay, just ask me to come. Please. The 53 million that you yourself uncovered in KZN was written in your books under false pretenses to have benefited X number of beneficiaries. They corrupted your system by putting those fictitious names there and took 53.3 million out of the budget of the department. So vouching here as if that corruption is not part of the figures you're dealing with, we will get you to trouble.
No, thanks, Chair. I am very clear. I was just dealing, I'm not defending the vouching for the corruption. I know it happened within that context, Chair. I appreciate your distinction between those two. All that I'm saying, Chairperson, what the Auditor General is saying and what Ms. Stein is asking is correct. We're not denying that. What we're saying, correctly as you put it, Chair, we had in that specific instance, in case that names of people, ID numbers, copies of their IDs, but indeed those same names, ID numbers, were manipulated, some of them fictitious. That is what the Auditor General is saying. That is the control measure we're taking. We're not in dispute about that.
That was a follow-up question from the state.
Yes.
But continue.
Chairperson, perhaps let's move on to Honorable Dapane's question, or question, rather.
Excuse me. The 29 investigations does not relate to 29 people. It's 29 cases. And you were not referring to it when you were talking about verifying whether the release will not jeopardize the investigations. You were referring to the completed investigations, the one that you initiated yourselves.
Yes, I was referring to the one that we've initiated ourselves. We're not referring specifically to the 22 completed investigations. We are saying in that regard, we have under the parliamentary question where we had to furnish that particular information to Parliament when we responded to a parliamentary question in that specific regard.
Conclusively indicates that the portfolio committee can have access to that information.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
On the questions regarding Honorable Ndapane, the work that has been done in Muyeshe, I'll focus in that particular area. In Muyeshe, there is quite a significant number of people, honorable members, that have benefited in terms of in Muyeshe. We talk about 487 jobs. We're talking about 28 women trained, 18 youth. We 830 trained in youth management, in project management. 37 trained in bricklaying, computers, catering and construction. 670 households were profiled in Muyeshe. The essence of the profile is to get into the bottom of understanding each household as a unit of entry for CRDP. So 670 people were profiled in Muyeshe. With regard to the community gardens
in Mushonjo. It is correct, Chairperson, that indeed there are 187 household gardens that are being supported, particularly by the Provincial Department of Agriculture. But to answer conclusively whether the intention of the program, which is to meet the basic needs of those who have benefited from the program, we would wish to request that we be given time so that a report can be compiled to say, has it indeed, because we don't want to say something else. What we are saying is that indeed there are 158 community gardens in Mushonjo, but on whether we are meeting the basic needs as is the design of the program, would request the chairperson to allow us time to get a report compiled in this regard. The capacity of the department, this is correct, Chairperson. As part of the restructuring, the transformation of the old department into the new department, one of the areas we have had to look at is the issue of capacity. More so, Chairperson, because you had new branches that did not exist before. So we have been working since May last year, looking at the design, looking at the different branches, looking at capacity requirements of these branches. We already have some people already hired, employed, to beef up the capacity, particularly in those three branches. But additional capacity requirements in areas of land reform have also been identified, and we are in the process as we speak to even beef up that particular capacity in that area as well. The call center, Chairperson, it is our view that it is being used. We have answered before this committee before. We were asked to come up with a report explaining the work, the progress we are making with regard to the call center, Chairperson. We will make available that report to Honorable Ndapane. He has asked a further question, though, of a cost-benefit analysis to be done. We currently do not have that with us. We will provide that, we'll do that particular analysis. With regard to unsurveyed state land, as we have received, reported in the previous three financial years, this has been an area which is a challenge involving all our state land and communal areas in the country. We were requested by the committee and the other committees to produce the vesting master plan, which has been developed in conjunction with National Treasury and the Department of Public Works. We are happy to make that master plan available. We are happy to provide detailed report in terms of progress of where we are and what is outstanding insofar as completing the surveying of state land. The responsibility of this chairperson completing this assignment has been handed over to the Chief Surveyor General to oversee its full implementation and speeding up of the implementation of this. Ndabawokumkhulu, Honorable Zulu, we tried again, perhaps we're going back to the budget and the issue of the department not having resolved all outstanding claims and still having a budget under expenditure. We did try to explain this, but as the CFO reported earlier on, with regard to restitution, the budget that they were allocated was exhausted. There's still a long way to go to actually deal with the backlog in terms of settlement of restitution claims. We reported that we have been instructed by the minister to come up with a turnaround strategy around restitution. So that is the one issue. I hope we have attempted to deal with that, and the chairperson said the rest of the details relating to that particular question of Honorable Zulu will be dealt with on the 14th when we report to the committee. thank you for the words on support, Honorable Ngwenya Mabila. And indeed, we agree that there's a lot of work to be done. The Chief Financial Officer has dealt with the question of the expenditure, material losses, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. With regard to the vacant posts, the department has followed all the normal processes in terms of recruitment, in terms of advertising those posts and going through those particular processes. And I think they should be finalized one way or the other in due course.
You feel comfortable by using the term in due course?
What I can't say, perhaps, Chairperson, let me change that. What I can say by this date, because we're talking about senior management positions, some of them have got to go to DPSA, some of them have got to be approved by cabinet. So I'm unable to put those institutions to give them timelines by which perhaps we can determine at a particular outside of this meeting how far those processes are and when are those decisions unlikely to be made.
Honorable Shabana, is that we have to require from the department that information, which you say you can't provide. Yes, you cannot commit the cabinet, but you can commit your department to take responsibility for all these senior positions. You can exclude the vetting of those individuals. You can exclude the cabinet decisions, but all your processes should be given to us. So, when it can be completed?
Yeah, I think the best response is to indicate that all the processes, including the vetting and the qualifications, etc., has been completed. The three DGs vacant, as well as the DG position, is waiting the final approval. So, we, as a department, has done everything that we could, and we have submitted to the relevant approving authorities for the final approval.
You're talking about three DGs? Exits one, enter three?
DGs.
Oh, okay. You gave me a fright.
Jefferson, on the question by Honorable Kacha, the minister did release a statement regarding the departure of the former Director General, Mr. Tosi Gwanya, which was made available. I'm not quite
sure. He did not issue a statement only. He came here to give us the report.
Yes.
So Ms. Carter was not here then. But maybe you could summarize what the minister said.
I think we can provide that particular statement, Chairperson. Thank you, Chair.
So I would appreciate if can be if we can actually clarify it here, because there's other members here that was possibly also absent that day. So I don't know, you know, there's more than one member that does not have clarity on that matter.
Well, it's a significant matter enough warranting a written report. We appreciate Honorable Ndapane is Chief Whip and is very busy, so it's not only you. But it is important because that's why the minister was here himself.
Shall we proceed? We can get a copy.
Scared to misquote the minister, so he prefers to submit it in writing.
We can even bring it before the end of this meeting so that we can give it.
The way you hesitate on this matter makes it questionable. Why? It makes people raise questions. Why are you hesitating on the matter? The minister was here. He told us openly that Mr. Gwanya and Commissioner Mpela submitted letters of resignation and stating their own reasons. What is the problem? What is the problem?
There is no problem, Chair. I think you've
Why
done.
Why are they dating?
Chairperson, the information that the Honourable Carter is requiring, Chairperson, perhaps she can help us, because she's referred to lots and lots of information. She's referred to list of arms acquired under former DG's tenure, their names and the prices. I don't know how far back that one goes. So, sorry, farms. Yes.
I'm at a disadvantage today. My ears are sharp, I can hear clearly, and then I'm hearing wrong things. Ms. Carter, the key issue here is that the information you're looking for is the information that was submitted to us as a committee, which Ms. Stein refers to as having lots of gaps. And we required that information from the commission. And we detected in that information lots of gaps. So the acting DG can supply that information, but it could be corrected now, because we required that information last year. So it should be updated now. OPU, yes, yeah. You hear? I'm not saving time. I just want to make sure that Mdu is not put in a situation where he hesitates again to create another question mark.
Yes, Chair. I think in tomorrow's presentation we'll be able to address with that and how we're going to deal with it. Thank
Don't you. Set yourself a target you were not sure to meet.
Chair.
We have been finding that you set targets sometimes they are not reasonable. So give us the indication that that information that you gave us, which has lots of gaps, if you have not updated it, don't promise it about tomorrow, but make sure we get updated information that's complete in the manner in which Ms. Carter was requesting it.
Thank you, Chair. What I was saying...
Can you tell us tomorrow what will happen to that information?
Chair,
don't bring us the same information that you gave us last year.
Now, Chair, what I was saying is that we will not be able to provide the information tomorrow, but what we will be able to tell this, the Honourable Members, Chair, is how we're dealing with making sure that that information is credible, it's reliable, and it's correct, Chair. And we can then set a date when we can submit that to this House.
Thank you. Okay. Teach.
Thank you, Chairperson. The final question from Honourable Carter related to the number of officials who have benefited from land reform. Again, Chairperson, we would really appreciate if that information is furnished to us. We are saying we were asked a parliamentary question regarding the number of officials that have benefited. From what Honourable Carter is suggesting, it is possible that the number that was provided to us is not the correct number, but it would help if she has information that is not at our disposal so that we can deal with it. But we are happy to again start the process to prepare a response for her with regard to the question that she has asked. She says there's 17 officials that she knows of. Now, we may not be aware of that as a department.
I know that the Dr. Skoia, the former Minister of Social Development, instituted an investigation on the civil servants that benefited from the previous various grants from the department. I also know that the Minister, formerly the Minister of Housing, did a similar investigation. I don't have a reason to doubt that you should be doing that yourselves, given the fact that you have already proven in the KZN case that there are civil servants that are stealing from the poor. But that information, Ms. Kato, could make available. But you should. You know yourself now that you, your information, your database has been corrupted by your own officials.
Yes, Chair. The service labor agreement we spoke about, among other issues, must address that particular exercise of making sure that we detect them. But we will not be able to provide it up front, as you'd know. As they investigate, they detect, we'll have probably the number growing over a period of time, so we agree with you, sir.
I'm sorry, if I may. Yeah. Jay, you know, I'm happy with a response, but what I think we can also do is maybe try and be a little bit of, you know, proactive. And in the different provinces, you know, once we start and we say we send a memorandum out from the DG to say to the different provinces saying this is the information we require, you know, we're already closing one gap that you have been proactive. We hope that they're not going to run and destroy any paperwork then, which could happen as well. So maybe that investigation coming as a silent ghost in the middle of the night might be the best answer.
Don't worry, Ms. Carter. The commission is here tomorrow. They are the ones who distribute funds. We will pursue that. But the DG must do his job and not want to rely on us to provide him with the information. Thanks, Honorable Shabana. Honorable Shabana, you skipped a very important area which both Zulu and I'm sure I think it's Ms. Taylor. $189 million on rural development, core business of the department. I know that the CFO commended himself by spending 25% of the budget in that area in one quarter, which is equivalent to what was expected, because that branch was established late in the year. But I don't think the explanation given on when the establishment was done satisfies this committee. Why? You yourself said, whilst you were creating new branches, you were implementing at the same time. That's what you said in your introductory remarks. Can you give us more explanation as to why you could not distribute to the various projects $189 million to poor people?
Thank you, Chair. As we have quite correctly said, the rural development is a key mandate of the department. As I reported, at the inception of the department since May, we had to undertake this rigorous planning exercise in terms of establishing the programs, building from scratch. And in the normal course of events, we had to obviously request funding. This program, as a new program, did not even have 1 cent. It was not provided for in the previous budget allocation under the Department of Rural Development. We also had to follow the normal budget process of requesting, requirement, shifting of funds from one program to another from National Treasury. Obviously, by the time the midterm budget speech is done, the final approval of requirements and reallocation was done in November, and this program was left with that very little time. Chairperson, the CRDP as a new concept, as we started to pilot it in Muyeshe, it was very clear that it was underpinned by certain principles, namely the principles of making sure that we break we deal with the basic needs of the poor, we break the back of hunger. We create jobs, there's a built-in job creation model and the issues of enterprise development. As we were moving with Muyeshe, we had a lot of interest from other provinces who wanted to work with us and other spheres of government. We could have spent that money, but as a key program, we couldn't just distribute the money all over, because we had to ensure that this being the new flagship program, it is implemented according to certain standards, according to certain principles going forward. We had requests from various provinces, I have said, who wanted us to say they had plans, they were ready to transfer the money, they were ready to receive the money from us. But on assessment of these plans and in consultation with National Treasury, we came to a conclusion that we can't transfer these monies. In fact, we were stopped. We were told we can't transfer these monies to those other spheres of government. So we stopped that particular process, Chair, of transferring the money. We had to make do with the very limited capacity we had at that particular moment in time, in that particular three-month period in time, where we had to try and spend the money ourselves. I'm saying we add on the side of prudence, because we could be sitting here explaining fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Perhaps if we had given this money to another sphere of government and we are failing to account for it now. I don't know, Chair, if I may stop there.
Thanks. I just want to add about on the issue of who could have transferred this money. We thought we want to really try and work according to the PFMA. And the systems in provinces also were not ready. So we thought fiscal dumping is not an option here. We rather return the money and ask proper rollover and explain our reasons of not spending the money than spending the money and finding ourselves having to account for irregular expenditures and fruitless expenditures. We are confident that in the current financial year we'll be able to spend the money. Thank you.
I see no other hand. Yes, Mr.
Chairperson, can I ask a follow-up question on this last reply? We were discussing the restitution program, so I'm going to ask a question. It's also in the Auditor General's report on page 57 under commitments. I know it's not only for the restitution program, but I think the bulk of this 8.364 billion rand in commitments is in the restitution program. I'm not sure of that. I want to find out from the department, while the DG is also here today, or the acting DG, if I know that it was said that this amount increased from end of April till I think the meeting took place in August or sometime, to 12 billion rand. And the main reason for that was that farmers have now taken the department to court, more and more farmers. I also read somewhere in the report that the department paid 700 million rand to interest. And I want to find out if the 12 billion rand in commitment that was the last figures that we were talking about is the final figure. Whether the department have updated all their outstanding commitments, it's again a case of, you know, not having a database that I keep on referring to. And if they are just relying on people taking them to court and then adding it up onto the list, what are they doing, and if they are sure this is the last and latest amount?
To avoid this recurring, CFO, your commission is a branch now of the department, although we still legally a standalone institution, for them to continue to commit the department on buying farms when they do not have money, how are you going to prevent it from happening again? Because clearly, you should re-engineer the way they conduct their business, because it comes a long way. They have been doing this kind of thing for many years now. In order for Ms. Dane and us all to be convinced that you are not going to do this again and pay interest and pay through court the farmers, what is it that you have done?
Chairperson, if we may just beg for your indulgence, given that we're coming here tomorrow, can we prepare a proper response, or should we respond now?
If in doubt, we can postpone it for tomorrow. Because remember, if you tell us a story that may change tomorrow when the commissioners are here, you are actually cutting your nose to spite your face.
Chairperson, may we respectfully request to defer this, responding to this question, to the session tomorrow.
I'm adding a proposal saying that we would like the Special Investigations Unit to extend the investigation to further than just those linked to the fault found. Because I'm really worried about the fact that we already don't have this list of beneficiaries or in separate pockets or something. And if we now are going to do this maybe this year and it's going to extend for the next 5 or 6 or 7 years, I don't think we will be able to find all the evidence by that time. I think we must try our best from this committee side to ask the Special Investigations. I don't know, Chair, if a committee can do this or speak to their minister or how do we refer it, because I am really concerned about what is happening in this department.
Let's not jump the gun today, Mr. Let's wait until tomorrow. Remember the real people who deal with the purchasing of farms and responding to applications are the commissioners. So let's wait until we can come to that conclusion. If the response that we're going to get from the gentleman there at the back tomorrow makes us doubt that they will ever give us the information, then we can come to that conclusion. See, if you are running a retailer, whatever nature of the retailer, whether you're selling tires or sugar or shoes, you definitely must know what is in your store, both in the books and in physical presence. And even the description and the nature and the size of those material items in your store. It is completely unheard of, and the DG has said here that they do have this information, but what the Auditor General has been querying is verifiable evidence that the person given a benefit in KZN does not go and get the same benefit in the Eastern Cape, so benefiting twice. He says here that what is general doubt whether they have the system to block that from happening. You know for a fact that in housing it was happening. Even in social grants it was happening. So the Auditor General has a question mark as to whether they have the ability to block that from happening. So let's wait. We'll come to that conclusion tomorrow after we've heard the commission. For today, I think we have dealt with all the questions. Yes, before teaching.
Chair, just to get one clarity, because when looking at page 54 of the annual report, it talks about 21 investigations, but the slide talks about 29. Can I be clarified? Extra 8.
must correct myself. And ask God to say, please obey your back me. Mark me.
I don't even know that thing.
Both the commission and the department do buy farms. It's not only the commission. The department buys farms under LRAD and also under other programs, even the proactive acquisition. So the fact that I say they must wait for the commission tomorrow is letting them off the hook because of my error. But since we've made that point, let's wait, because the test will be stronger tomorrow than today, because they would have been given 24 hours to prepare properly. Exalni ek machni farbe me back pratni.
No, thank you, Chairperson. The correct number is 29. We are sorry for the error in the where we've reflected two numbers. The correct number is 29.
Are you sorry for the general report?
For our
report. Is it in your report?
Yes, in our report, yes.
Okay.
The final point, Chair, there was a question by Honorable Steyn regarding the presence of the minister. There was an apology submitted, and the minister is in cabinet, has his apology.
Don't be disappointed as Speaker Afrikaans today. We don't entertain verbal apologies in the committee. We have established that principle long time ago. We entertain only written apologies. We have received a written apology from the deputy minister, not from the minister. Where is it? Show me evidence. Evidence-based
response. The letter that was sent to your office for yesterday's meeting and today's meeting, one letter covers both meetings. Mr. Secretary will give you a copy of that letter. I've confirmed with the office.
More is nog een dag.
Contract is het verkeerd.
All right. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned until tomorrow. I've been requested by the whip of the ANC to ask the ANC members of the committee to remain here. Before you leave, the secretary wants to update you on your trip to Malawi and Botswana. I know Honorable Ndapane, many members would have preferred to go to Germany. There's no rural development in Germany. We want to go to Malawi and Botswana.
Thank you, Chair. Initially, the committee applied for 2 weeks to go to undertake the study tour, but it was approved for the week of the 18th till the 22nd. And we wrote the letter to the DG of International Relations and Corporate on the 9th of September, because we don't directly deal with the countries, we deal via that office. And I only received...